Let's get our Bibles in our hands tonight, ready for some more preaching this evening. Again, we're so thankful to have Brother Ramos with us and his dear wife, and the opportunity we've had to spend some time with him. I told him today, it's been good to have you come, and when you leave, I feel like we're losing family members or something. You know, it's like family walking away from us, but we're just thankful, Brother Ramos, for you and your dear wife tonight. And aren't you glad we married over our heads? Amen?
Amen.
Absolutely. Good. Even though he married a Yankee, somebody from Wisconsin, we won't hold that against Mrs. Ramos at all. But we do appreciate them very much tonight. Brother Ramos is going to come and play and then preach for us tonight. I finally got it right.
It's been a great joy to be here, and we do feel like this is home for us. We've gotten to love this church very, very much, and it's a joy to share with you and be with you. I'm going to play tonight, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and as we remember this hymn, I think about His faithfulness in your life. Last year, about this time, Karen and I thought our ministry and lives were over. Our children, our two elders that were here today, had left the will of God and had left home. And God, through prayer and fasting and God's grace, brought our children home about 5 months ago. And now they want to do the will of God, and they're serving the Lord. And the joy of having our kids serve the Lord and doing the will of God is overwhelming. And just thank you for your prayers for our families. You never know what men of God go through, or missionaries and pastors. And you need to pray for them, uphold them in prayer. And we just thank God for His faithfulness. And your pastor has been an encouragement to me in this time. And Brother Johnson, thank you for your prayers. And praise the Lord. Lord is faithful. Amen. Please take your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 9. Matthew, chapter 9. If the Lord leads you to come to Mexico and visit us, you're more than welcome. And we'll take care of you, and we'll make sure you won't get Moctezuma's revenge. Amen. But we'd love to have you come, and it'll be a blessing to our church, and I'm sure you'll be blessed by seeing what God is doing in the country of Mexico. Stand your feet, please. Matthew chapter 9. I know this is a very familiar passage of Scripture when we talk about missions, but every time we open the Word of God and we read it, and God speaks to us, amen? And every time the servant of the Lord opens the Word of God and preaches, God wants to speak to us. So let's listen to what God has for us tonight. Matthew chapter 9, and I'll read verses 35 to 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these past few days we've been together with this precious church. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you lead this church as you have these years to increase their vision, increase their burden, increase their faith. As they reach out in this community, in their city, in their state, in their country, and around this world with the gospel, Lord, continue to pour out your grace and your blessing upon them. Use tonight, Lord, and help me to be a blessing. I need you, Lord, and I pray for the power of the Spirit of God to move upon us. We pray this in your wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much for your wonderful treatment. I think I've gained 3 pounds in the last 3 days. Amen. 1 pound a day. And Nova, thank you very much for your wonderful treatment. We always feel so spoiled by you. In this passage of Scripture, there are some principles that we see here taught by Christ and by His example so that we can reach the world. Luke 19, and don't turn please with me, but Luke 19, verses 41 through 44, we see that Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. And He said this because they did not know, they did not recognize the day of their visitation. Their Messiah had been walking in their streets, had been preaching in their synagogues, had visited their cities, yet they did not recognize His visitation. They didn't recognize that God had kept His promise in sending the Messiah. And I believe with all my heart that America has had their day of visitation. God has visited America for many years. To read of the revivals of the past and of the missionary movement this country has had throughout this last century, God has blessed America. But you know, and I don't say this just to say this, but I do sense that God's visitation is moving away from America. It really is. You know, you ought to pray for your country. I also believe it's my country, even though I was not born in America. But you know, the day of our visitation has come to Latin America. And I know this, my brother, it's just the mercy of God. For so many years, there's been so many people in Latin American countries like Mexico and other like Ecuador and Guatemala and El Salvador, Nicaragua, that for many years were sincerely seeking after God. I've talked to many people in our country that are righteous people that they're blinded by idolatry and they really love God. They don't know Him, but they love Him. And blessed be God, God has had mercy on our country and He sent the Word of God. And He sent missionaries, and He's calling out preachers, and He's starting churches, and we're sending out missionaries around this world now, and God is visiting our country. And I thank God for the privilege of being a part of what God is doing. And let me just say this, it's all God, amen? It's all His grace. Remember when we were on deputation, when we were seeking support, when we first went to Mexico, we went with American support as missionaries, and it was in the month of June in 1989. And on a Saturday afternoon, I wrote a prayer letter, and I told the churches, I said, and pray for us so that by the month of October, November, September, October, we can go to Mexico, move to Mexico. And I wrote in my prayer letter, pray that, because we need $5,000 to move all our belongings from Chicago to Mexico. I wrote the letter on Saturday afternoon, I didn't print it out. I just wrote it in my typewriter. And that Monday I was going to send the letter. That Sunday I preached in Southern California in a church. And if somebody in the church that day, in the offering plate, put a check for $5,000. I hadn't said anything. I hadn't even sent the letter. And when that happened, Brother Johnson, I said, God, you want us in San Luis Potosí, Mexico. There are people there that are waiting to hear the gospel. And that's what God is. It's all of God. It's all we are is instruments. All we are is just servants. Praise be the Lord. He uses vessels that are unworthy for His glory. Amen. But the soul is God, God visiting, God working, God saving. God wants to continue to visit America. And I believe with all my heart that the purpose of God's visitation is not just for our own salvation and our own benefit and our own revival, but when God visits us, it's for us to send out the gospel and send out the message of salvation to the entire world. See, for God so loved the world, not just Mexico, not just America, He loves the world. And He wants us to pray for the world. He wants us to send missionaries. He wants us to be willing ourselves to go if He so calls. Here in Matthew chapter 9, we see some principles here taught by Christ that will help us fulfill the Great Commission. First of all, I want us to look at Christ's example. There in Matthew 9:35, the Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion." First of all, we see that people were Christ's priority. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. See, the whole reason for soul winning, the whole reason for missions conference, the whole reason for sending out missionaries, the whole reason for tithing, the whole reason for giving a faith promise is to reach people. To reach the unloved. To reach those that have never heard. To send out the Word of God so that people may be reached, because the Lord loves people. He gave His life and ransom for many. He wants us to give our lives for the salvation of others. See, that is the goal. The goal is not just to have a beautiful building. You have a beautiful building. God has blessed us with a beautiful building. We're building the building right now, 15,000 square feet. And God is moving on our church, praise the Lord. And we're raising the money now to pay for it and to build it. Glory to God. And Brother Johnson, I wrote many churches in the States, and I made phone calls, and I put things on the internet, and nobody said anything. So I told my folks, I said, "Folks, you know what? God does not want us to raise money in America. He wants us to give." And they said, "Pastor, you're sure right, aren't you?" I said, "Amen. Let's give now. Amen." And now they're giving. Praise the Lord. Amen. But the whole purpose for a beautiful building is not for you to glory in what you've done. It's for you to grow in faith and grow in burning that you may reach the world from Redding, California. See, people are the priority. That's why Christ came. He preached in the synagogues. He healed them. He had compassion on them. People must be the priority. The salvation of souls. But look with me here also. Christ had a plan. There, we see in verse 35, the Bible says He went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. Christ had a plan to be able to preach in all their cities, to preach in all the villages. He had to have a plan. And that's, I think, where we miss sometimes. We just go about things haphazardly. We need a plan. This coming year, this last year, I'm sorry, in the month of February, we had a youth rally there in our city. You know, we had 3,000 people come. It was tremendous. We had, if I remember correctly, about 450 people saved. And we baptized 137 under a tent there in a big sporting center. This next year, we've been working since 2-3 months ago. Our goal is to have it 3 nights and have 10,000 people in the 3 nights. And we're visiting, and we're going to schools, and we're going to paper and the radio and you know, but we have to have a plan. If we're going to reach it, we have to have a plan. And blessed be God when a church has a plan to reach people, to knock every door in their city, to start churches, to support missionaries, to send up missionaries. When you have a plan, God blesses when you have a plan. See, faith promise is just it's not a scriptural word, okay? Faith promise giving. But it's a biblical principle of giving above your tithe and offerings for the sake of reaching the world. It's a plan to reach the world through giving of God's people. So we have to have a plan. We have to have a plan. I was very much challenged by Rick Martin. I've never been to the Philippines, but I've talked to him, and I've talked to men who've gone to the Philippines. And Brother Rick Martin has a plan to have a church in every single island in the country of the Philippines. He has a plan not only to reach the Philippines, but he has a plan and a strategy to reach the world. And I believe, Pastor Johnson, every pastor of every local church and every local church needs to have a strategy to reach the world. That's Christ's example. Christ had a plan. But see, we also see there in verse 35, Christ not only had he had a priority, the people, and he had a plan, but he also, Christ, Bible says there in verse 35, he preached the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That is the message we need to preach. The Bible teaches us, and don't turn, but in Matthew chapter 28, in the presentation of the Great Commission in Matthew 28, we see that all power is given unto me, Jesus said. We see the authority. We have to understand that it's not whether we want to or not. It's God Himself in the person of Jesus Christ saying, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." See, we must understand we have a command. Book of Mark, the young children had, what a beautiful choir, and that was so beautiful. It really was a blessing. But they quoted Mark 16:15. See, the scope is to every creature. That's an unbelievable scope. But you know, if Christ gives a command, we can fulfill it. And see, it's our generation right now. It's this generation is our responsibility. We're responsible for Pakistan. We're responsible for Mongolia. We're responsible for the Ivory Coast. I pray that you pray for Brother Consport. I pray for him this morning that God may open the doors of the Ivory Coast, because see, it's a spiritual battle. Satan is trying to close that country. But we need to pray, because, you know, God, praise the Lord, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And we have the authority of Jesus' name and His Word to preach the gospel to every creature. The scope is every creature. Look, I want you to look with me in the book of Luke, chapter 24, please. There in Luke 24, we see a wonderful truth. In Luke 24 and verse 46, the Bible says, "And said unto them," this is Jesus, "that it is, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ." Behooved. It was necessary. Christ had to suffer. That's the only way that we can be saved. That's the only way that we could have had our sins forgiven. Christ had to suffer. The incarnate Son of God, God and man, in the form of man, had to take our place, or else there'd be no salvation. It behooved Christ to suffer. The Bible says, "And to rise from the dead the third day." And look what it says in verse 47. And that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Just like it behooved Christ to die and suffer and be buried and raised the third day, it is necessary, it behooves us to preach the gospel to every creature. It's necessary. It was necessary for Christ to suffer. It's necessary for us to go and preach the gospel around this world. It's necessary. But also, in the book of John, look with me in John, please, real quickly, John chapter 20. John 20 in verse 21, the Bible says, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Also, we see here the position we need to have, the spirit we need to have. As we go, we need to be sent as Christ was sent, for God so loved the world because of love. Because of love. You know, we have Christ as our example. We see Him there in Matthew 9. In Matthew 9, priority as a people. We see Christ had a plan. We see Christ preach the gospel. But also there in Matthew 9:35, the Bible says He healed every sickness and every disease among the people. We see Christ had the power of God. See, all that plan and all that preaching without the power of God is solely human effort. We have to have the power of God. There's a brother in our church named Tomas Santos. He's been in our church for 6 years now, 6.5, 7 years. No, I think more than that. Yeah, about 7 years. Finally, I got his entire life story just recently. He's told it to me, bits and pieces. When he was born in a family where his father was a very, very rich and very powerful drug lord in central Mexico. His aunt, when he was a little boy, just newborn, took him from her. His aunt took him because his father was such a wicked man. He never met his mother. His mother left and disappeared. He was raised in Monterrey, and his sister married a very rich man in Monterrey. Was a head of a corporation there in Monterrey. Very, 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 very wealthy people. He grew up as a very rich boy in Monterrey, spoiled, and had his own car, and just very spoiled. When he was 16 years old, because of a problem that they had, it was a murder. They were trying to blame him, and he was not guilty. So he left home, and he went and found his father. His father at the time was a multimillionaire. There in central Mexico, as he would fly planes from San Luis Potosí to Colombia, fly them into the United States of America, and filled with cocaine and drugs. Tomas Santos began to work with his father. Tomas Santos told the story that one day he cashed in $12 million. Can you imagine that? He left his daddy and he 2 years traveled around the world, just blew it all. Came back to Mexico, began again his wicked business. Then he began to trade and there in Mexico, it's illegal to buy and sell guns and rifles, and he was trafficking arms from the States. He was put in jail. He got a 28-year sentence. He went to the high security jail, like an Alcatraz island off the coast of Mexico. And there in that jail, they lowered the sentence to 18 years. And for every day in that jail, it's so wicked. It's like 4 days in a normal jail on the inland. And he said he was a wicked man there in jail. He says he loved it when the preachers went to the jail and they passed out New Testament. He would rip off the pages and he would go back to his little crop that he had grown marijuana. He would smoke marijuana joints with the pages of the Word of God. Very wicked man. He left jail and he was broken and he wanted to know God. He felt very guilty because all of his sins. And he said he would follow Jehovah's Witness and ask them. But they said that Jehovah's Witness never helped him. Thank the Lord that lady in our church knew his live-in. Got a burden for them and went to the home and invited them to come to our church. Praise the Lord, that day Tomas heard the gospel. He got saved. And praise the Lord, through many circumstances, he became faithful in our church and began to grow. And God called him to full-time service. Today, Tomas works in our, we have a printing, Bible printing ministry. We print down Romans and tracts and we're printing the Word of God in Spanish and also in German and in French. We're sending the Word of God out there from San Luis Potosí. Today, Tomas is the printer. And now today, he used to smoke the Bible. Now he prints the Bible. Amen. Isn't that good, brother? But you know, that's the power of God. The power of God changes lives. And you know what our churches need today? We need a revival of the power of God. I feel like many, many churches, it's like Israel in the times of Ahab and when Elijah went and said, how long you stand between two opinions, and the people just didn't say anything when he said, if God is God and or Baal is God, you choose it. And the people were indifferent. But when they saw the fire come from heaven, they said, God, Jehovah, He is God. He is God. We need to see the fire and the power of God in our churches today. That's what we have to have, holiness. We have biblical Christianity and separation and godly living and prayer, that we may be filled with the power of God. And thank God for your preacher that stands for the Word of God. And he preaches holiness. And he preaches against sin. That's the only way you'll be able to see the power of God in your lives. See, we need revival. We need the power of God. Look with me now. Christ's exhortation. In Matthew chapter 9, we saw Christ's example. Now let's look at Christ's exhortation. There in verse 37. 36 and 37, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. We see Christ's exhortation. Christ sees the multitudes. He sees them scattered and fainted. He sees them without direction. He sees them lost. He sees them with religion. But they have no Savior. Christ exhorts us then. And He says, listen, the harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. Christ says, there is a need. There is a need. People are lost. This world has a population of 6.4 billion. Still today, more than half have never heard the gospel. Something's wrong with our missionary movement. There are still nations in this world, Brother Johnson, that have not one word of God in their language. There are still nations in this world that have not one missionary that preaches the gospel. Still today. Something's not right. There is a need. God broke my heart for the need in our country when I was already there in Mexico. We arrived in November and October of 89, and in March of 90, I went to Guadalajara to visit a missionary that I wanted to meet. I wanted to get to know him. He's a good man, and I wanted to see his work and ask him questions, because I wanted to learn how to work better in my country, in Mexico. And on the way home, it was Easter week. On the way home from the city of San Juan de los Lagos to San Luis Potosí, there was a pilgrimage of 50 to 70,000 people. I've never seen so many people at one time walking, and some of them were walking barefoot. They've been walking for days, brother. For days. There in San Juan de los Lagos, there's a virgin that said that that appeared there in that church. And when they go there, it's a virgin about so high, and it's of pure gold. Pure gold. And they go there, and they ask the virgin to cure their alcoholism and to return their husbands. And they make promises to walk barefoot or to walk without eating, just drinking. And they make all sorts of promises. And I saw 50,000 people to 70,000. And as I saw those people, I began to weep. And I said, Lord, these people need the gospel. They're religious people. They have faith, but their faith isn't placed in idols and the gods of this world. All they need is somebody to show them that there's a God in heaven that loves them and that's real and that does care and does answer prayer. But see, we have to understand that there's multitudes and multitudes, yea, millions, yea, billions of people that need the gospel. In Christ's exhortation, He tells us, hey, the need is great. The fields are wide. But there's no laborers. No laborers. Today, there's about 2,800 independent Baptist missionaries around the world. You say, that's pretty good. Well, when you consider there's 7,000 to 10,000 churches in America, that's not very good. It's not very good. What are we going to do? Let time pass? Time is not on our side. Christ is coming soon. And we are responsible. You might not think it's so, but every Christian is responsible for the world. I am and you are. I'm to pray for the world. I'm to win people to Christ. I'm to invest and send missionaries with my backing and my support, because I will one day stand before Jesus and give an account what I did for His sake while I was living here. There is a need and there is an urgency. That's Christ's exhortation. There's an urgency. Brother Consford talked to us about Ivory Coast. Did you know that in Africa today there are 10 million orphans? 10 million orphans whose both mom and dad died of AIDS? 10 million. 10 million. Africa is being taken over by Islam. And they're dying off by AIDS. There's an urgency. What are we going to do? Just worry about our own well-being? There's a world to reach, my brother, my sister. And we are responsible. Christ's exhortation. But look with me now, Christ's expectation. There in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 8, Christ said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." Christ's expectation is that we see the need, that we understand that the gospel is the answer, and that we say, "Lord, send laborers." And when you say, "Lord, send laborers," the Lord can call you. Amen. And we need to be willing to go. This last year, a missionary whom I did not meet, I know his children well. He was a doctor, pediatric doctor here in the States, 25 years ago. At the time, he was making $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year. And that was 25 years ago. He went to Monterrey, Mexico to visit his brother-in-law, Tommy Ashcraft. And God moved in his heart, called him to Mexico. He left his profession. He was a pediatric doctor, a very, very well-off and well-known doctor in the area where he lived. And he left everything and he went to Chiapas, San Cristóbal de las Casas, Chiapas. And he began to work with indigenous people. And today, his son now, Brother Sloan, his son, one of the Sloan boys, there's a couple of them, is pastoring there, took his work there in southern Mexico. And they've started dozens of churches and they're reaching Indian people there in the mountains. But see, that's what it takes. It takes for Christians to say, "Lord, I'm willing to go." Let me ask you, are you willing to go? Are you willing to go? All of us need to be willing to go. But see, that's a hard matter to reconcile in your own heart, isn't it? Are you really willing to leave everything to go to a place far from home, to people that are different of your own, to give your life to them? That's a hard consideration. The exhortation of Christ is to pray there for the Lord of the harvest. Christians willing to go. Please listen, and I'm done in about 15-20 minutes. I'm just teasing. churches, Christians, willing to stand. Jesus says here, He says, pray therefore, Lord Harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. But the Lord, and when he makes that expect, when he says that, He's not, what He's saying, He said, we need to be willing not only to go if He calls us, but we need to be willing to send those that are willing to go. Look with me, please, in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, please. Romans 10, the Bible says there in verse 13, great, wonderful passage of Scripture. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? Verse 14. And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? See, we need to be willing to go, but we need to be willing to say, Lord, if You don't send me, Lord, I want to help those go that are willing to go. And that's what the Mission Conference is all about. It's for us to fall in love with Jesus, fall in love with His cause, fall in love with the souls of mankind, say, Lord, here am I, Lord. If You want me, I will go. But Lord, if You don't send me, Lord, I will pray, Lord, and I will work, and I will sacrifice that others may go. I will send the Word of God. I will sacrifice and I will give above my tithes and offerings that others may go and preach the Gospel. That's Christ's expectation. We all need to understand it's not a matter of whether I want to or not. Christ expects that of us. We need to be willing to pray. William Carey was a great missionary. He was in India for 50 years. And I read about his sister. He had an invalid sister who was bedridden. And for 50 years, she faithfully prayed for him hours every day of her life. Could that not be why he was successful? Very much so. You need to pray. You need to learn to pray for your missionaries. Pray for their needs. Pray for your church, that your church may continue to be able to give. And as God blesses and gives you grace to give, you'll see God's blessing upon this church one day. The other day, I was thinking about this in relation to our church there in San Luis Potosí, Mexico. As I was talking to some of our men, I was saying, folks, one day as a church, we will give an account. I believe that. For what we did in the time of our visitation. I told our church, folks, we're not even doing what we should. I mean, we're far from doing what we should be doing as the time of our visitation. In America, your visitation is about past, but God is still working in your midst. Glory to God. There's still good churches and great churches like this one. There's still soul winners. There's still men of God willing to preach the Gospel. There's still people willing to pray. There's still missionaries willing to go. God is still having mercy on America. Don't let your day go by, folks. Do something about it while there's still day. Be involved in the cause of Christ around the world. Heavenly Father, thank You so much, Lord, for this week that this church has consecrated their time this week to be in church, to listen to the Word of God, to be challenged in the area of missions and giving and sending forth missionaries around this world. Lord, I pray that You please bless this church as it takes steps of faith, as they commit to give. Oh God, please move. Lord, please give them grace that You gave the Macedonian Christians to go and give beyond what they believe possible. And may they see You bless them and give them grace and power and fruit that abounds for eternity. Jesus, please bless now. And Lord, if there's someone here willing to go, may You speak to them. May they surrender, Lord, their lives. Say, Lord, here am I. Send me anywhere. Lord, please work. Please, my Savior. As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, please.